The reading this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thank you, Christy. So I don't know how many sermons you have often on Our Father, but that's where I'm going to take us today. It is the prayer that teaches us to pray. And it is a little bit this morning like we have got special mentoring lesson with Jesus about prayer. When the disciples came to him and went, would you tell us, how do you pray? We can see you're doing it. We're not quite sure how to do it, how to enter into that space. And Jesus shares. And that's where we're going to go today. So I wonder what the Lord's Prayer is to you. For me, for many years, it was a prayer that felt important, and I would pray it in church. And I knew it off by heart, and I was lucky enough to also have it in assembly as I was growing up. But it wasn't my prayer. It wasn't a pool that I jumped into often and felt refreshed. And so it was a few years ago when it was a little bit like a light by moment where I thought, good grief, Jesus has actually taught us how to pray. I have never really thought about that or listened to that. How do I enter into that? And so we're going to look at this passage today from Matthew 6. And before we start talking about the Lord's Prayer itself, Jesus kind of does a couple of, first of all, I need to teach you about the posture of prayer. Because, I don't know about you, but actually prayer can feel quite fearful. It's a bit like when we say we will pray, that we place ourselves in an uncomfortably vulnerable place, that actually a lot of the time it's almost easier not to go there. Because what if we lift our eyes to heaven and it feels like heaven isn't responding? And yet, there is such richness there. And Jesus reassures us at the beginning. He says, it might be that it feels more like you're praying if you're in front of other people and you're speaking big words and it feels like an event. But actually, he says, this is like lesson number one in how to pray. Is it's going to feel really quiet. It's going to feel really vulnerable. He takes it to the extreme. He goes, go into your room, shut the door, and you're on your own. And is God there or not? And that is our seed of faith that we need to put ourselves in that place. But Jesus says, don't worry, he says, because your Father sees what is done in secret. In fact, he particularly seems to see what is done in secret. As the rest of this Sermon on the Mount kind of goes in, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He goes again and again, you do it in secret. Because God particularly sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And then he says, and don't feel you have to work superbly hard at it. Don't babble. God knows what you need. He doesn't need you to babble, and I love the way Martin Luther puts this in his Geneva Notes. He says, there are two revolting faults in prayer: ambition and vain babbling. And one is the ambition of kind of being somebody before God. We don't need to. We're already his children. He hears what is done in secret. That is the rock on which we stand. And we don't need to vainly babble. We can focus on who we are praying to. When you have a complaint about something, you want to write a superbly worded letter and you want to send it to the person it most concerns. Because if you send it to the wrong office, the wrong person in DVLA or whatever you're trying to sort, your letter can be amazing, but if it goes to the wrong person, it actually achieves nothing. So Jesus says, you know, it's actually praying to the Father. He is the one who hears. That's the greatness of our prayer. It's who we're praying to. So praying in secret, quietly if we like, and it's who we're praying to. It's God who's answering prayer. And then Jesus uses another image for us to enter into praying the Lord's Prayer. And it's a little bit like he shows us the household of God, because he says, when you pray, you say, Our Father. So you place yourself under his roof, in his family. And then he's going to teach us how we speak in that place. So we've got four daughters, and in our house, they have a special call on our time. They have a special call for us to provide for them. Unlike any other children and young ladies in West Bridgford and Lady Bay, they are ours. So they're in our household. And that is why we get to parent them and love them in a very particular way. And we love loving them. And there is joy in that. And we like it when we find that there is something that they need that we can provide. And so we place ourselves under God's roof in this prayer. And we receive that he calls us to be his children. And we go, Our Father. And we start a conversation with God. It's interesting what Philip Yancey writes about prayer. He says, if prayer stands at the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes: why God doesn't act the way that I want God to act, and why I don't act the way that God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where these two themes converge. And I quite like that. And you see that in Our Father. Because in the family of God, we get to see what it looks like when Jesus, the ultimate human, relates to God. And he invites us into that. So we begin with three things about what it's like to be in the household of God. And we go, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, we're with you. We're in you. You are holy. And then we go, actually, as I am in this place, then my heart is changed and my desires become what your desires are. So we go, your kingdom come. Lift my eyes, Lord. Your will be done. Your way is good. And in the scriptures, we have this. It's not that God is necessarily up there above the clouds, but the way it describes humanity and God is that God is in heaven and we're on earth, and it's the place where the two meet. This is a place where the two meet. I'm sorry, I'm crackling.
Is it?
That's my necklace. Sorry. So we are then in the kingdom of God. We're in his household. And then we are invited by Jesus to pray like we have a Father in heaven who cares. And he gives us these verbs, if you like, to pray with boldness, because that is how we are to be. And in some ways, we go back to that, what it was like, that call on humanity in the Garden of Eden to walk effortlessly with God, to dare to need him, and that he would be our everything. And Jesus is not telling us to pray this because he wants to kind of wave it in front of us and then shut the door on us. And actually, that wasn't true. Sometimes we believe that a little bit. I don't know about you, but actually, sometimes it feels a bit like that. Do I actually dare to say, Give us today our daily bread, our needs. I know our needs. I know my physical needs. I also know my emotional needs, which sometimes feel even harder to ask him for. But Jesus goes, pray, pray, pray. People of God, you know, brothers and sisters, pray, give us today. So it looks like, so when we are disciples and followers of Jesus, we are to pray like he wants to bless us. Give us today our daily bread. And then because we live in a broken world where there is breakage in our relationship with God and with one another, we're also to ask, forgive us, because he can forgive. Forgive us our sins. And because we live in a world that is evil, where plans for us are not always good, they can be evil too. We pray, lead us not into times of testing. Deliver us from evil. I think as human beings, we come to know that our desires can actually also harm us, and they can harm the people we love. They're not always good. And our times of testing come, and they require us sometimes to make difficult decisions. Sometimes that is away from things that will harm us or harm other people. But God will be there. He wants to deliver us from evil. And we might ask, do we need to really keep praying about our daily needs? Can't we just like pray today and then we don't have to pray all week? How glorious is that? Now, of course, that's reflecting that as people, we kind of just want to grab and run, don't we? Like a child who comes and gets the sweets and runs away. We just like relationship, that's great, but I'm just going to grab what you're giving me for now. And God goes, no, it's fine. And just keep coming back again. I actually want to be in relationship with you. I want to have that conversation with you. And I love the conversation between Corrie ten Boom and her father as she is going, gosh, life is actually becoming quite dangerous. They were hiding Jews during the time when the Nazis were in Holland. And she goes, how will I know that I will have in me everything that it takes not to deny Jesus in that moment of testing? And her father goes, when you catch the train, when you go on the train, when do I give you the ticket? And she goes, well, just before I get on the train, actually. And he goes, that's the way it is with our Father in heaven. He gives us as we need, when we need it. And we that's why we need to stay really close to him. And a theologian called Ellen White says, Christ holds it for you, safe beyond the spoiler's reach. Like the child, you shall receive day by day what is required for the day's needs. So lastly, what about that passage that was at the end? Do you feel the Bible sometimes does this to you? Like have a lovely psalm and then at the end it's like, oh, and bash the enemies. And you're like, ooh, okay, that's tricky. But it's because God is in charge of everything. It's that in the mind of the Israelites, it's like everything goes his way because we're in covenant. So we talk to him. But yeah, here we have one of those. What then about the last bit of this passage where that says, if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. How can God be so mean? It's quite scary, isn't it, to hear that? This is one view. I think this is one of those things loads of people will have written about. I would say that the Bible tells us that God's forgiveness is freely available to absolutely everyone. And if we refuse to let God's forgiveness be available for others, we want it for ourselves, but not for those around us. I love that phrase. We want mercy for ourselves and justice for everyone else. And you think, yeah, okay, that's true. But if we refuse to let God give his forgiveness to those around us as freely as he gives it to us, then I would say that we set our own opinion as a higher authority even than God. So God is forgiving my husband, and I can go, I just don't mind. Yeah, that's nice, but maybe I won't. And he goes, that's great, you feel so confident about your own authority, Christina, but actually, there's quite a lot you don't know. If I withhold God's forgiveness to those around me, then I set myself up as a judge that is higher than God. And he has not put me there, thank God. He has put Jesus, who just like had all of that and gave it all up. But I am not that high of an authority. But if I were, would I need God's forgiveness? Probably not. So maybe that's it, that I am not to tell him who to forgive. And if I think that I have the authority to do that, maybe I shouldn't be needing his forgiveness, in which case he won't give it me. I don't know. But I think there is something there. And forgiveness is key. Often we can't do it by ourselves. So we go back to, give us our daily bread, Lord. We need you to do this in us. Give me the lenses of mercy and compassion, Lord, that you have for everyone around me. Put them on me. I need your lenses of compassion. And lastly, the whole prayer is plural. We're not to be single children on our own before the Father. We have actually been placed in community. We don't need to be alone. We are to be alongside others in prayer and as part of his family, where we don't get to be lost on our own. It should not happen. We need to place ourselves with other people who can remind us of who our Father is. Sometimes we find that we have spent too long in a world that in our mind is apart from God. And then we discover that we're likely to have mistrust towards God about his goodness for us and his gentleness as a father. But God is the best parent that there is, and his utter devotion and faithfulness to us is never changing. But we can change, and we can lose sight of him. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. His compassion never fails. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we want to be living in his household, where we can quietly or loudly, whatever we can dare to ask, because he is the one who hears what is done in secret. And he goes, you can pray, give us. You can pray, forgive us. You can pray, deliver us. Lead us not into time of testing. They tear us away from his love. Only he can truly satisfy. So just as we finish, we're going to together just do a quick prayer exercise, which is one of many with our Father that I have found really helpful. I would like you to think about one of the phrases in the prayer of our Father and catch it, just one phrase, and mentally repeat it over and over. Let it be something that he gives for our formation of our hearts. As we receive it, your kingdom come, and to mind comes, actually, I really find that hard to pray. Your kingdom come. Oh, Lord, if I could trust your goodness, your kingdom come. Would you give me to trust it? Does that make sense? Well, give us today our daily bread, and we begin to think of how big our need is. So we're going to spend a few moments in silence. I'm going to just pray our Father before you, and you can you may already have caught your line, but if not, I will pray it before you, and just snatch one line and let it land with you, and let Jesus invite you in to what it looks like to be praying that freely. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're going to just spend a few more moments in prayer. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you through this prayer. People are different, and I find that for me, actually sitting in silence before God actually works. When I can eventually still my soul, but it works. For my husband, going for a walk is really helpful. And I too have found at times when I'm walking, if lots is going round my mind, I catch just a phrase from the Our Father. And begin with the things that are coming to the surface. I translate it into, and I might just go on a walk, and I might just go, forgive us our sins. You know, forgive us our sins. And I keep thinking of people that I find tricky, like, forgive us our sins. Like, put my mental arm around them, going, this is actually what you're praying for them, Lord, as well. Forgive us our sins. And so I find there are so many ways in which this prayer is like a pool that we jump into. For refreshment. There is so much joy and promise in living in this trusting relationship with our Father in heaven. I'm going to